Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Boston. This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime, Lanny, Garvin with you on this crisp and beautiful Saturday morning here in the month of December. We're closing in only 9 days from Christmas. Billy Lanny, how are we feeling?
Doing all right. Yourself?
I am wonderful. Ryan Garvin.
Hi, guys.
What's good up? Morning. Crisp, beautiful day. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's the first day I had to use the defrosters on my windshield, which I didn't enjoy, but I also don't have to wake up as early in the morning every day as you guys do.
Nope, you definitely don't.
Sun's usually hopefully been up by a couple of hours at that point.
Yeah, but you know, it's okay, because last night here in the city of Boston, we got not one, but two wins out of our local teams, the winter
sports.
We
were very positive before the show today as we were spitballing what we wanted to talk about.
Felt weird.
Yeah. Normally, a lot of anger, a lot of hate sometimes.
Just Ryan versus the chair.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that was the only negativity. Ryan versus the chair this morning.
You lean on the armrest and then you fall out of the chair.
That's
tough. I'm going to have a lawsuit with this building.
They've been here for a while, those chairs.
I can understand why they got left behind. Why would you want a chair where the armrest doesn't hold you in?
Left behind rejoin, please. Thank you.
The one in the control room there that, like, Curtis, myself, and Akin, for a while, was just permanently, like, reclined.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, you know,
every
day
I'd come in, I'd go, what did Lanny do to this chair?
And then I was like, what the hell happened to this? And at one point, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to switch it with one in the other room.
It's incredible.
I'm like, what the hell happened?
Play musical
here?
Chairs.
Like, it's still held in that stuff, but, like, you know, it was literally leaning
bent.
Back.
It is musical chairs, though, because it's just like nobody wants to actually fix anything.
No,
you just move it to the side and
fixing
go.
Fixing things
someone
takes too much
problem.
Work.
Someone else's problem.
Yeah. Mingles has bigger issues.
Yeah, exactly. He's dealing with, like, a rat in a studio or something, you know.
People drilling holes in the back.
Frozen pipes.
Right.
They have been drilling into this building for the last 2 weeks, so all you hear as you're working is...
It's like a metronome. At least there's a rhythm to it.
Straight, nonstop. I died the other day. I'm listening to Fourier walk down the hallway. Now, we've already had 7 consecutive days of just banging as they're drilling into the parking lot. Fourier goes, does anybody else hear that banging? I hadn't noticed that before. Like, are you kidding me?
Because he's the one person who's louder than the banging.
It's all
I can hear. It's kind of nice. I get out of here before they start banging.
It's too cold and too early and too dark for them to start drilling into bedrock. Do that during my show. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime. The Boston Bruins won last night against the New York Islanders 5-4 in a shootout. Your Boston Celtics won over the Orlando Magic 128-111. Let's start with the Bruins.
Yes.
The two words that need to come out of your mouth when you're talking about this game is Linus Ullmark. Like, it's like that save he made.
Three
with
words, Linus effing Ullmark.
All right. Yeah.
Fair. The save he made with his big toe, it was remarkable. He was completely out of the crease. And he stretched his left leg as far as he could go, got a piece of it. They went down the other end, immediately put the puck in the net. And that kind of was a big momentum shift for them, I felt like.
You could say it was the save of the year candidate, or you could say the guy completely choked on an opportunity to bury a puck in a wide open net. No, I am going to. It was a very, very impressive save. Timely. These are the kinds of things that you want to see from a hockey team at this point in the year, where it's like, okay, we've been playing some games now. Do we know who we are? Because that always seems to be a big discussion point with Jim Montgomery, is what kind of identity does this team have?
And I think that happens so much because he shifts those lines around constantly. And you were playing in this game shorthanded, right? No Charlie McAvoy, no Pavel Zacha. Mm-hmm. So, like, your lines are a little bit weird. You have Jesper Boqvist playing in this game. No Matthew Patra, he was a healthy scratch, I believe, last night, like a day. I think it was a scheduled day off for him. So you're playing with without a couple of your normal guys here, and you still come out and you fight your way after starting down two, fight your way back and end up winning this game in a shootout.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was because, again, he went down two, came back to score two. Third period, which has been kind of, you know, a little bit of an issue for the Bruins, but it was Islanders goal, Bruins goal, Islanders goal, Bruins goal. And then overtime was good, and then the shootout was the same way, back and forth. It was just a good game because, again, boom, you score, we score. You score, we score. Allmark makes a save. Great game.
If you're going to have a regular season game like that at this point in the year where it's mid-December and you're starting to, you know, get into it, it's a little grindy. They're actually playing more games instead of having, you know, five consecutive days off, and then they're back for a Saturday before being off for 3 days and playing then. Would you rather it be this, or do you want two goaltenders just, you know, in a duel right now, and it's 0-0 and you're sweating out, you know, what will ultimately be a game that doesn't really matter as much as it might?
No, you want this game for sure. Absolutely. And it's not only do you get the excitement of the goals that are scored, like, there was still good goaltending, right? You don't have to have a 1-1 nothing game to have good goaltending. Like, Linus Omark was still really good in this game, even though the Islanders scored 4 goals. So I think for a team that, as you actually pointed out earlier about the other Boston team, this team has given the Bruins some fits in recent history every once in a while. So to see them come out, get a win here, and have to battle back after being down in the hole 2-0 was really, really good. And then you move over to the Boston Celtics, a 128-111 win over the Orlando Magic. Again, banged up. No Kristaps Porzingis in this game. Like,
no Horford.
No Horford.
No Cornette.
No Cornette. And they come out, and Tatum drops 30. Pritchard gets 21 off the bench. They owned this game.
So the Orlando Magic is a team that I have been looking at for, I think, about 3 seasons now. This might be the fourth where I'm going, they're going to be an obnoxious team someday. And I think this is that day where they're starting to lean into that scrappy, you know, a lot of high draft picks, but there's some talent on that team. And for whatever reason, they have had the Boston Celtics number for at least a year plus now, where every time the Celtics play them, they never seem to be able to beat them. And I mean, it's a good team, but, you know, Banchero is, you know, got drafted really high in a draft that I don't know if it was super deep. The Wagner brothers play well. I like them. And I think they will be a good team, like maybe a top 5 Eastern Conference team at some point. But as you were saying, Chime, you go into that game, you got no Porzingis, you've got no Horford, and it's the second night of a back-to-back. Jaylen Brown, I know, is questionable going into that game. And they really showed me something there, much like the Bruins showed me something last night as well.
This Celtics team very much reminds me of last year's Bruins team at home. They just dominate.
They don't
lose at home.
See, we were talking to Scal yesterday on Jones and Mego with Arcan. It was a Friday appearance. He had some stuff going on Wednesday, so we talked to him yesterday. And he pointed out how interesting that this game was going to be for 2 reasons. One, the home record is important considering how bad, and maybe, you know, you forget at this point, and that's okay because it was like 6 months ago. The Boston Celtics were a terrible home team in the playoffs. If you, and I almost feel like it is a point of contention with Joe Mazzulla to go, we have to dominate at home because that is something that really ended up hurting us a lot last year. So you guys go out and you make it your mission every night we play in this building to destroy the other team.
Well, Jason Tatum even made comment about it after the game. What was it 2 nights ago? I think it was, or something like that. He said, he's like, you know, we've had some issues at home, especially like last year in the playoffs and stuff. We didn't want to have that this year. We came out, when our fans are in this building, we want to show off want to be good.
I appreciate that, Jason.
And they have been. They're 13-0. Like, they dominate at home.
And that's the stuff that's going to separate you from the rest of the pack. So you got a home and home with Cleveland, another team that they had their struggles with last year. And then Orlando, who I just, you know, documented they have had issues with. And the other thing that Scott brought up, which was I thought was interesting, was that this is going to be a test for the smaller lineup, because you go in there with no centers, and even Mazzulla's like, well, we could play Tatum at center, I guess. This also was a nice test to see if they can find another way to win. And these are the things that you're looking for in championship teams. I've been in with the Celtics. The Bruins, unfortunately, I'm not going to give the benefit of the doubt to yet, because I saw how well they played last year, and I'm still not ready to get emotionally involved like I am with this Celtics team.
Understand.
But I think it's a good point, you know, when you're probably a quarter through the season at this point, maybe a little more in the Bruins' case. It's a good place to be right now, is at the top of your conference, looking down at the rest of the teams. As far as the Celtics go, I think it's like the Bucks are right behind them. And then in the Western Conference, it's Minnesota. But even Minnesota is, I think, only one game behind them. And then correct. I think the Bruins are a couple points behind, I don't know off the top
Rangers,
of my head.
Rangers, I think?
They passed the Rangers last night.
Oh, that's right.
Las Vegas. Your Golden Knights chime, who really helped
screwed
you out
me
last
night.
Oh, I'm sorry. They screwed you last night. It's a good place to be right now in December. So if you are going to have games where you don't have Porzingis, if you're going to have games where you don't have Charlie McAvoy, and it sounds like they're not going to have Charlie McAvoy for a little bit, or Pavel Zaka, who has been really, really good.
He's been awesome.
And, you know, you're never going to replace what Patrice brought you last year. But Pavel Zaka getting extended to what he did, I know I was a little skeptical at the time. He's really fit well into this team, and I think has sort of been, you know, an unsung hero as to how they have been able to string together a nice season so far.
So being, you know, 23 and 28 games into each season, you've been more than a quarter, almost a third of the way into the season here. Do you have a feeling on which team you trust more? In a big spot, which team do you trust more, right? Because the Celtics, they're 13-0 at home, but they're 6-5 on the road. So they have had some issues on the road so far. The Bruins, 10-2-1 at home, 9-3-3 on the road, plus 22 goal differential, which isn't great, especially when you compare it to teams like the Golden Knights and the Canucks, who are at like plus 41 or right. Something stupid like that. But they are 19-5-4. So right now, the two winter teams, in a big spot, which team do you actually trust more, the Bruins or the Celtics?
Wow, I feel like sitting on the fence in this one, because they're both
get
playing,
off the fence.
I know,
way.
Right? They're both playing really well. They're both showing the depth that they have. I think I have more trust in the Celtics right now over the Bruins, and it's not by much. It's not by much. Seeing because again with the Celtics, it's Porzingis is hurt. Okay, that didn't affect them in the least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they
it's
came like, out dominated.
Right. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, and Holiday was dinged up for a little bit, and you know, Jaylen Brown's like, oh, he's got a knee issue. I didn't see any knee issue last night. You know what I
that
mean?
That poster dunk.
He was throwing the ball down, moving really well last night. But I'm leaning slightly towards the Celtics and me having more trust in them at this point.
I would also have more faith in the Celtics. And it's not – both teams are talented. I'm going to give the edge in this mini argument to the coaching. Because I feel like Joe Mazzulla, who I was
plus one Joe Mazzulla,
not crazy about last year, to put it lightly, I think that Joe Mazzulla is more likely to say the things that need to be said in order to get through to this game. I think Joe Mazzulla learned a lot about what he fell short in as a head coach.
Don't give me that much credit.
I'm gonna have to, Joe. I look, I'm not like happy with it. I wanted you fired into the sun last year. But as much as I like Jim Montgomery, and I think, you know, there are times where Jim can be publicly critical of his players. And I would say that of the two, I would probably, I'm going to go with Joe Mazzulla. I'm going to go with Joe Mazzulla to give his Celtics the push that they need, because I feel like the Celtics are very aware of the issues that they have had, whether it's their struggles in the third quarter, whether it's how bad they were at the end of the year last year at home. I think Joe has done a good job of keeping his players aware of the things that they need to do and how they need to win. That could all change Because I don't feel like the Celtics have had one of those losses where I'm like, oh my God, how did you screw this up? You were, you know, you were up to the Knicks or you were up to the Cavaliers and you, you know, you let it get away from you in the last 4 minutes. You know, if anything, I've seen them, I've said many times, like, that was the game they lose last year. And they win it. And I still haven't had that one, like, oh my God, I can't believe you lost this game. So I'm going to begrudgingly give credit to Joe Mazzulla, I think I'm gonna
say the Bruins right now, and it's hard because of what happened at the end of last year, but I think that's almost also the reason why I believe in this Bruins team right now, because I think the majority of that roster was there last year and they know what happened and what went down, and they are very much I think that very much sticks in their minds that they don't want to have that same letdown. They can't be this same high and then immediately fall apart. And I think that kind of drives them a little bit. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's like, I think that in a big spot, Jason Tatum is amazing. But when it comes to that NHL team, I will take Pasta plus one of those goalies over Jason Tatum.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
When it comes down to it, like, I think give me Pasta and Jeremy Swayman over Jason Tatum right now.
The psychology behind that is very interesting. Like, what's the bigger motive? Are you more motivated by being an all-time great regular season team and choking in the first round to what turned out to be a very good Florida Panthers team, which I did not believe at the time? Or is the stronger motivator losing in the Eastern Conference Finals after being down 3-1 and coming back to force a game 7 to a team that you were so much more talented than?
I think for me, I look at Tatum, and he's been to the Eastern Conference Finals now, what, 5 of the last 6 years or something like that? 4 of the last 5?
Ridiculous.
So for me, like, losing the Eastern Conference Finals isn't a heartbreaker moment for him, quite like what last year was for this Bruins team. And so that's kind of why I lead to that being the bigger motivator for the Bruins. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning on the Celtics or the Bruins. We will get into the Patriots. They square off with the Chiefs tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. Flexed out of Monday Night Football. Should have kept it. Zappy versus Mahomes is going to be good. But Joe Braverman will get you caught up on everything that's trending right now in the world of sports.
You're never going to replace.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, as we talked about, despite being shorthanded, the Celtics moved to 13-0 at home with a 128-111 win over the Orlando Magic. Jason Tatum led the way with 30 points. Peyton Pritchard scored 21 off the bench, including 6 of 7 from 3. Jaylen Brown talked after the game about the importance of what tonight's win means.
I think this was the biggest game of the year so far. One, we had a bunch of guys out. And on a back-to-back versus a team that's been kicking our ass the last 4 or 5 times we played. So I think this was the biggest game to me so far.
Season Magic will do battle once again tomorrow afternoon from TD Garden for the second of a home-and-home matchup. The Bruins got back to their winning ways, knocking off the Islanders 5-4 in a shootout. David Pastrnak, Morgan Geekie, and James Van Riemsdyk each had a power play goal. Mason Lauri had the game-tying goal with 4 minutes to go in the third period. The Bees will go on to win the shootout 2-1. They'll return home today to face the Rangers. Puck drop is set for 7 p.m. Final injury report has been released as the Pats prepare to host the Kansas City Chiefs. Rhamondre Stevenson, the only player so far been ruled out as he continues to deal with his high ankle sprain. 7 other players are listed as questionable. That'd be Christian Barmore, Trent Brown, Juwan Bentley, Devontae Parker, Matthew Slater, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Tyquan Thornton. Just another side note, Kayshon Booty, Demario Douglas, Brendan Schooler, and Tyrone Wheatley Jr. were removed from the injury report. On the other side for Kansas City, running back Isaiah Pacheco will miss his second straight game with a shoulder injury, and offensive lineman Donovan Smith is also out with a neck injury. Pats and Chiefs will kick off from Gillette at 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. And staying in the NFL, Week 15 will continue today with a Saturday triple header. The Vikings will face the Bengals, the Steelers will battle the Colts, and the Broncos will go off against the Lions. We'll have Westwood One's coverage of all three games right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM, beginning at 12:30, following Ken and Curtis. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
This is Bruce, right?
Yeah, this is definitely Bruce Springsteen, I think. I'm not sure. It might be off one of his, like, it might be a deep cut Bruce song.
Yeah, some B-side.
Yeah.
It's definitely 100%. A B-side.
Yep, definitely. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in this morning. We've been talking Bruins and Celtics. Going to get into some Patriots here because I think the Patriots are at you know, 3-10, still a very big story because who knows what the hell's going to happen
with
this team.
So many question marks.
Oh, my God, it's remarkable.
It was funny. After we wrapped up yesterday, I was talking to my Adam Jones, and it was like, wow, you know, it was a fun week. Historically, these, like, Thursday night football games into...
Oh, it drags.
It's like you're especially looking for business. Anything to talk about, and it didn't even occur to me this year that, like, oh, yeah, like... We've already gone through the bye week, and you know they haven't played since you know, two Thursdays ago, and it kind of just flew on by. And you're like, oh wow, they're gonna be playing out there playing football again. Here we go, go football team! But yes, the amount of things to discuss with this football team is never ending. And as I was talking before the show today about, you know, we were very positive when we started.
Today. Very much so.
Like, yeah, the Bruins and the Celtics and who we trust and things are going good. We're really impressed by these things.
Wins.
And then I'm also equally impressed that there are people like Billy Lanny here.
Guilty.
Who think that Bill Belichick is going to be back next year. Like, I am impressed by that.
Yeah,
out of everything you have seen this year, that you think that Bill Belichick... Either I and this is what I want to hash out now, is do you think that he will be back or do you think he should be back? Because those
Will and should are two different things. I think he will be back. I believe he will be back. I think Kraft will be like, all right, play out the contract, then send him off into the sunset.
Wow.
That's my feeling on it.
Do you think he should be
should
back?
Should he be back? Probably not.
Probably
I think he will be back. I think the quarterbacks are back. That's how I feel about the situation. Because I can't see. And nobody buys the whole mutual potting of ways thing. Whenever it happens, we're like, okay.
An elegant dismount.
Not happening.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a firing. I don't think there's going to be a mutual potting of the ways. I think they're like, all right, you have one more year. You have a top at least five draft pick to do something with.
But
you have one more chance to show me something. That's hard, how I feel about it.
It's hard to say, though, like, yeah, one more year. Here's my top five, top three draft pick that could be the difference in the rest of my franchise's future.
Yeah, but do you see, okay, so then who do they bring in? Do you see somebody that can come off, I see a few guys. That can come off the street and where Kraft will be like, I trust you with this pick. More than he would trust Belichick with that pick.
To your credit, that's fine. I guess when it comes to a trust, yeah, I guess maybe not in Kraft's eyes, but like in my eyes, there's plenty of guys that I would trust as much, if not more, with this draft pick than Bill Belichick.
I mean, they're the guy from San Diego they could bring in. You know what I mean?
Brandon Staley sucks.
No.
Bring him in to Telesco.
Telesco's fine.
So it comes down to, it's like, all right, fine. I think I'd rather have Bill making this selection than like bringing some guy in, trying to change a whole new system up, change things around, and be like, and you have a top five.
Well, because my thought is like, this top five pick is going to be a quarterback. Like, all things considered, for the most part, you're going to be top three probably, and it's probably going to be a quarterback, because even if you end up third, Arizona's probably going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade down, and you can easily just kind of swap with them and give them a couple picks to move around. So, like, for me, this is, you are in prime position for the second quarterback in this draft, which is, by all accounts, one of the best picks you can possibly have. I don't know, offensively, if I want to trust that guy to Bill Belichick. And I don't know if Robert Kraft thinks that way, but I certainly do, because offensively, Belichick has not done a great job drafting, especially over like the last 10 years, just from the offensive side of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, he has plenty of hits.
So that's what I'm saying. So if the top of the draft had a couple linebackers, defensive ends, or a secondary player, then you'd be like, all right, fine, Belichick should stay?
No, it was because you need a quarterback. If you already had a quarterback,
Sure. I'm saying if you had a need on defense in this position,
yeah,
then you'd keep Belichick.
Yeah, sure. Like, it would make more sense to me to keep Belichick.
All right.
In that regard.
That makes
right?
sense. I
just, I think you need a coach who is, more importantly than a GM. I'm not even over concerned. You can run it back with Matt Groh for a year as your actual GM if you want. I don't really give a
right. You can do it by committee.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's more important for me that you get an offensive-minded coach to mold the young mind of a quarterback than anything else. That, to me, is the most important thing. So whether you want to try and lure Lincoln Riley out of USC, or you want to go bring in Bobby Slowick from Houston, my guy, or you want to go bring Ben Johnson in from Detroit, like, those are the kind of guys I would be targeting, because it's guys that I know will work well with a young quarterback.
So that's that, and you throw out a lot of, like, really compelling names. Like, I think Bobby Slowick is really compelling. Frank Smith, Ben Johnson. Like, there are a bunch of names out there of guys under the age of 40 that have come up, coaching tight ends, being an offensive coordinator, had some success doing that. But all that being said, there's still going to be a healthy amount of competition for those guys. So how do you sell prospective coach on this job?
You
because
probably
this
have the-
is not a little fixer-upper, coat of paint, you know, maybe do the shrubs out front. You're going to have yourself a nice house. This is going to be a full, or at least it should be, a full-on teardown. You are changing culture. You are changing coaching staffs. You're changing the quarterback.
Everything.
Normally, it's one or the other. It's either the coach wins or the quarterback wins. More often than not, it's the quarterback, and the coach ends up getting fired. It's very, very rare that you are moving on from, in theory, your general manager, your starting quarterback for the first 12 weeks of the season, and your head coach. That does not happen in football. And if it does, it's going to be a long, long time. So you're, I guess, Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft. How do you go, okay, Bobby Slowick, okay, Ben Johnson, this is why you should come here instead of literally anywhere else?
You see that lighthouse?
It's a really nice lighthouse.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep on driving.
So
we can hook up Mario Kart to that big new screen we got.
You immediately right now, when you look at the landscape of the job opportunities that will probably be available, you have the second or third most desirable spot.
What is that based on, though?
It's based almost simply on the fact that you will be drafting a legitimate or what you believe is a legitimate stud quarterback, right?
So I need autonomy.
So the draft pick is the selling point.
Am I allowed to make that draft pick? Or is the owner going to be making that draft pick for me?
So
the general manager you're bringing in, is that guy going to be making it for
me? So let's assume that you're the second overall pick. You finish the season where you are, second overall pick. When Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft bring in a guy like Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick or Frank Smith, whatever, and they go, hey, look, here's the deal. We need a new quarterback. We think you are the right person to mold the mind of that quarterback and get him acclimated to the NFL game and really start to take this offense to a new place and in a new direction. And with that, we're going to draft the quarterback. Honestly, we don't have a choice which quarterback because the choice is going to be made for you with the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. The Bears are going to take either Caleb Williams or Drake May, and you are going to be given the second guy. So, in all honesty, it's not like you're selling him on one particular guy. It's just the fact that you're selling him on one of these two quarterbacks, and you know that either of them are really going to be playing, hopefully, at an elite level when they come out, because that's the idea. Both of these guys grade unbelievably high. They are the clear one and two guys in this draft, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions, and they can kind of be interchangeable. But regardless of that fact, they are very, very talented. And so ultimately, outside of the Chargers job, which is actually very similar to yours, right? Because you have Justin Herbert, who by all accounts is like a top 10 quarterback in football, legit talent, awesome. But they're going to start running into some cap problems because of some of the contracts that Tom Telesco handed out. So they have some of their own issues that you have to deal with. Well, here in New England, we don't really have any albatross contracts.
Uh-huh.
So we have a lot of money to spend in free agency.
I'm looking at the books right now, Mr. Kraft, and you've actually got a ton of top-level people coming off the board this year. Hunter Henry, Trent Brown, Kendrick Bourne, Mike Gesicki, Jalen Mills, Ezekiel Elliott. All those guys are unrestricted free agents, and it seems like they're going to walk. Now, I would feel really... I assume you were able to get draft picks for those guys. I mean, going into the trade deadline, Kyle Duggar can't still be here. Josh Uche can't still be here, right? But I have draft picks to work with, don't I?
You still have draft picks. It's all the same draft picks that you had. But regardless, I think some of those guys coming off the books are good. You talked about there needs to be a change in culture. Getting rid of a guy like Trent Brown is going to help change your culture. Now, does it require you to kind of fix your offensive line a bit? Yes, but I think that's a doable job in today's NFL. I think you look around the league, I think NFL offensive lines are just, in general, playing worse than they have been across the board. This isn't like a common thing.
Offense in general has been playing worse than it's ever been.
It's few and far between like the elite offensive lines, and so you can cobble together an offensive line that'll work. Again, the biggest selling point is the quarterback, no albatross contracts, so you also have plenty of money to spend in free agency, and you're not like pot committed to anything or anyone. You can kind of mold things the way they were. Your defense, for the most part, is going to come back the way it is right now, and your defense is the best part of your team. Like, your defense is legitimately pretty good.
Right, and you're getting Gonzalez and Judon back.
Yes, exactly, and you'll get Gonzalez and Judon back for next year, 100%, Billy. And so, if you, as a head coach, bring in anybody as a good, serviceable defensive coordinator to help you out, you're going to have a top 15 defense, a top half of the league defense. I'm not going to say it's going to be elite, but you're going to have a top half of the league defense. And if you can rework this offense with your new young quarterback, you immediately have a future. Like, there's an immediate path to success there. It may not be in the first year. It may be in the second year. But there is a clear and concise path to success. You look at Houston. They decided to bring in a defensive-minded head coach along with Bobby Slowick to take the offense. They draft a quarterback at number two. They got really frisky, traded back up to number three, and took Will Anderson. So now you have a cornerstone on offense and defense. Your defense is starting to come around after they played like dog doo-doo for the first 6 weeks. But D'Amico Ryans, good coach.
Coach of the year.
Getting that coach. Yes, getting that defense into form. CJ Stroud, absolute stud. And when you look at the talent Stroud had before the season, It's not like they blew you out of the water. They had Nico Collins, who had never had more than 500 yards in a single season in his career. And now he's lighting it up. Noah Brown was like the fifth receiver on the Cowboys. Like, he was cut by the Cowboys because they had CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jake Ferguson, Michael Gallup. And Noah Brown was not getting snaps. And then Devin Singletary was just a washout from Buffalo. Damian Pierce has been kind of meh. Like, he's been good but not great. And then you hit on Tank Dell in the third round. The Patriots could hit on a receiver in the third round with a new GM. There's that chance. With Belichick, I find it hard to believe that you're going to hit on a receiver in the third round, again, because of the difficulty drafting offensive talent.
Houston is the interesting team in this whole experiment because it shows that you can win with good. Like, you don't need to be great across the board. If you're good with a, you know, who I think will be a great quarterback, you can win. As far as the competition goes for all of these, you know, and these are just the vacancies that are here now.
Yeah, available.
Correct. I mean, is it right now, is the Chargers the most desired? Assuming that the Patriots will have a vacancy in a couple of weeks.
I think the Bears' job is the most desirable at the moment, which sounds weird because the Chicago Bears, especially in recent history, have just kind of been
a giant question right now with what they are going to be doing with their quarterback. Well,
see,
as well.
If you move on from your coach, to me that indicates you're moving on from your quarterback. But again, you mentioned trade assets earlier. You can flip Fields for a second or third round pick right now. You can't flip Mac Jones for a second or third round pick. That's the difference.
It looks like day three the best.
Like Chicago, you look at them right now. Their defense has come together in the second half of the season. They're playing like legit football. DJ Moore, good receiver, legitimate talent there. Roschon Johnson, like that committee they have at running back is fine. Their offensive line is kind of pieced together okay so far.
I like Cole Kmet.
The idea is if you're the Bears, you have two top 10 picks. You draft Caleb Williams at one. With your other pick, you draft like Roma Dunze from Washington, and boom, you now have a stud quarterback in Caleb Williams, let's say. Roma Dunze, a young, great rookie wide receiver, plus DJ Moore and Cole Kmet at tight end. So like you have a lot of offensive talent as well as a defense that has started to come together for them. So I think right now Chicago to me seems like the most desirable, but I would say LA is probably right behind them, specifically and only because of Justin Herbert. And then you have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, which is nice. And then the Patriots would probably be number three.
I
was going to say that, and for me, the way I look at it is like with the Bears, like that's a historic franchise. You know what I mean? So like, so there are going to be people who will be like, wow, I have a chance to
work
coach
for the Chicago Bears.
Right, exactly. So I think that plays a role, especially when the Chargers, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they've moved here.
They have no fans.
No, but I'm just saying, like, you look LA, at things, like, there might be guys out there that are like, wow.
Yeah, they play home.
To get a chance to coach a franchise like the Bears, I'm going to jump on that opportunity.
They play home games where there's more fans of the other team in their stadium. Right. Like, that's the tough part about LA.
It's a travel destination.
100%.
So that leads me into what I've been kind of mulling around is, all of this really started with, and I don't know if it can be constituted as a report, but when Tommy Curran speaks on issues with the Patriots, I am inclined to listen.
I am as well.
And it sounds, and I'm really more astounded by the people that don't, that just go, I don't believe him. I'm like, well, who do you know? Here, Tommy Curran's been covering this football team for a quarter century. Who do you know that is more tied in? I'll wait. I will wait because there's no chance that you have better sources.
Random call
than
from
he
random
does.
City who calls in.
So the idea that, oh my God, that made me crazy this week. The amount of people that were like, nope, it's fine. Bill's not going anywhere. And I think the idea that everything has turned the way it has was not just based on what happened in the Indianapolis game. If you listen to what Tommy Curran is saying, this was a decision that was made for many, many, many reasons. Obviously, the team being as bad as it is, the decisions that were made, how public and bad these losses were. And you fast forward to now, and I think it's very interesting that there is still a healthy majority of people out there that think that Bill Belichick is going to be back. Apparently,
I-D-G-A-F,
Tommy Curran. Apparently, we have a bet going on, Scheim, between your radio program and my radio program.
That's a Wiggy-specific bet. That has nothing to do with
because
me.
Because Wiggy,
there may be a wheel of cheese involved, but it doesn't involve me.
Oh, see, yeah, go on. To my understanding, it was a cheese whale. I'm led to believe that we are trying to find this mythical creature
my Moby Dick.
A danger to all the lactose-intolerant fishes of the ocean. A baby cheese whale But it's really just the idea that, that Wiggy is so dead set on Bill Belichick coming back. And I think that there has been something very, very weird going on, that because the last thing that we have had to see this year is a Patriots win, that everyone's feeling really, really good about the state of this team this year. So this, as we go into this break, I want you guys to think about this.
Human cheese whale.
Yes, a human cheese whale. I don't know what
a
that
human
means.
Cheese whale?
I don't know what that looks like, but apparently someone's going to be strapped to it if Bill Belichick is back or not. Details, who needs them? But I want you guys to think about this, Shyman Lanny. If an incredible flourish could save Bill Belichick's job, could an incredible faceplant end up costing him his job?
Ooh, like Chargers kind of faceplant.
Chargers like 63 on points. Thursday Night Football.
Okay. All right, we will get to that coming up next year on The Producer Show, 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in. Ken and Curtis will be following us right at 9 o'clock as well.
Holy sh**, we are witnessing a baby f***ing
cheese wheel
right here, dude.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
By the end of the season, they were furious, and they needed to hear the right things from Bill at the end of last season, or else it might have ended there. From what I understand, Bill said the right things. They were like, okay, he set a new course. He admitted that that he underestimated what the offense needed, how much Josh McDaniels had done for him, but he was willing to be open to corrections with Billy O'Brien. And so when they went into 2023, if you look at all the tea leaves in terms of, they have so many top-tier free agents that have not been extended. To me, it looked like, okay, the Kraft said to Bill, you got your mulligan, okay? But if it doesn't work this season, you got a chance to put it on its right tracks. If it doesn't work this season, we all know where this is going. Leave 2024 to somebody else. We'll make that decision when we get there.
Picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Riley, I can see my baby tonight.
This is the WEEI Producer Show on Boston Sports Original.
Cheese wheel.
Fair enough.
Well done.
Well done. Great song. That not the cheese wheel drop, but the clip you heard before was Greg Bednar talking about Bill Belichick. So Ryan asked this question before the break. Can a big flourish keep Bill Belichick, or could a massive faceplant get him fired midseason? I think no to both, to be completely honest with you. I don't think a flourish can save his ass. I don't think a faceplant will send him out. And I think the faceplant thing is specifically just kind of a respect thing between him and Kraft. I just think Kraft is going to let the season play out, and then it's like, all right, we're both going to go our separate ways. See ya. It's not going to be an elegant uncoupling, but it will be a departure for sure. And I don't think... I think if you win a couple games, like if you beat the Chiefs tomorrow and beat the Bills and the Jets or something and win like 5-6 games
and
on the season all of a sudden,
up your
yes,
draft position.
That's what's going to piss me off. You're going to be like, oh yeah, look at this. We won like 3 games to end the season.
We beat the Broncos 9-6. We kicked 3 field goals. No, unfortunately.
Julie gave up 6 points.
Oh, great. Oh, that's
but I'm
awesome.
Just saying, like, if you do good defensive performances these past couple weeks.
I don't want to see it.
I know you don't, but I mean, it could easily happen. Like the Chiefs are kind of, I don't know, struggling a little bit.
I do want to see them beat the Chiefs. I don't want to see them win any other games the rest of the season. Right. I really want to see them beat the Chiefs tomorrow.
I think defensive performances these past 4 weeks will kind of be like, all right, we'll bring him back.
There will be nothing left of Bailey Zappi except a smoldering crater and a pair of size 11 football cleats. He is going to come crashing back down to earth in grand fashion. And look, it's not going to be his fault. It's just he is what he is. He's a little plucky, little mini gunslinger. Fine, whatever. He's going to get his doors blown in by this the pass rush of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not his fault. You can't be mad at the backup because he's not playing well. He's the backup. It's fine.
He was a backup for they cut him for a reason at the beginning of the season. Like, but it's not Bailey Zappi is not some great shakes.
This has been a very, very interesting, as we talked about in the last segment, like it didn't really feel like another bye week like it normally does because of the amount of information that is coming out in regards to Bill Belichick. And I thought what Greg Bedard was saying with Dan Patrick was really interesting. This is, you are seeing the second chance. We are living it right now in real time. And by the way, on a human level, I hate it. I really do like Bill Belichick, and like it's going to suck to look back in 5 years and be like, wow, it ended like this. Right? Yep. Remember how bad, 100%
agree.
Remember how bad that 2023 season was? Oh, my God. I can't believe it. And it's unfortunate. Like, I don't love doing it, but it's happening right now, and we have to talk about it.
And the issue, too, is Belichick put himself in this position, more so than anybody else. Like, it's hard to, when you're right, 5 years from now, when you look back on this, it's going to be like, damn. Really ended like that. But at the same time, like, Belichick is the reason they are where they are.
There were some whispers around the building within the last few weeks, and this is something I heard Andrew Callahan say, that Bill Belichick was interested in running it back with Matt Patricia, which is astounding to think that he would look at how bad things went and just really how much he took Josh McDaniels for granted on offense. And I think he realized that now. So I think what Greg Bedard is saying, like, this is it. You can figure this out because of everything that you have done for this franchise, all the amazing football moments that your coaching has brought to this region. Because of that, because of how incredibly incompetent this team was last year, how you managed to destroy a first-round quarterback. He is completely unsalvageable. His smoldering shoes are already in the dumpster. We will never see him play a snap here ever again. Based on all of that, we should have fired you. But because of who you are this year, regardless of what happens, this is your last chance. And I think it is interesting. I heard Bert Breer tell Rich Eisen that Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo's contracts basically expire around the same time. And I'm led to believe something to the contrary that I didn't think, was that Robert Kraft did have a plan. Robert Kraft, I think, planned for, this is going to go well. We're probably not winning the Super Bowl this year, guys, so you don't need to, book the duck boats for February. But, chances are we're going to be a good team. We'll probably make the playoffs. We're probably going to lose in the playoffs to one of these top-level teams like Baltimore or Kansas City. And then at that point, we can have a nice send-off. And because Gerard Mayo's contract is now up, we can pencil him in to be the next head coach of the New England Patriots. Well, things have changed in grand, dramatic fashion. You are now a 3-win team. You are the worst football team in the AFC, if not the entire NFL, by far, Sean. And at that point, Robert Kraft has to be going, what the hell am I going to do now? Because, unfortunately, Gerard Mayo is culpable in this. Every single person that is in that building is culpable for how things have gone this year.
I don't disagree, but like, at least,
like, it shouldn't be in his, and I'm saying in Robert Kraft's mind, it should not be a slam dunk that they have the next guy in-house. But what
that
scares
I 100%
me
agree
is
with.
He doesn't want to go outside of this organization.
But
I like Gerard Mayo, and I wanted Gerard Mayo to be the head coach here. That was before this season. I just think if you were ever going to have a reset, this is the time. You have been given this opportunity to completely change things for the better. Like, that's the thing. Things can be better than this. You don't have to run it back with Bill Belichick again. You don't have to run it back with Mac Jones again. You can just completely sever ties. Go to Los Angeles. Go with Kellen Moore. Let Kellen Moore run that offense. Let him. You're a big fan of the Air Coryell. Fine. Don't touch Justin Herbert, Bill. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. Don't do anything. Just let Kellen Moore do his thing, and you will eventually catch Don Shula. I think that could happen. I would be happy if Tom Telesco came here because he can't be worse than anything else you have had so far. At least he is hit on a draft. You have nothing to show from the draft for the last 4 years, guys. All that being said, Shime, you nailed it. There is no amount of good and there is no amount of bad at this point. We are just going to sit back and watch the last 4 weeks of the season happen and just be grateful for the 20 plus years of success you had because Bill Belichick was, in fact, a part of it.
And I hope they beat the Chiefs tomorrow, but that's about it. That's about it. I want them to beat the Chiefs and lose the rest of the games because I think the Cardinals will win one or two down the way. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning to the WEEI Producer Show. This has been Shime, Lanny, and Garvin with you. We will be back next Saturday morning for you. Enjoy Ken and Curtis next. See ya.
See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.